Would like to call the meeting of the County Commission back to order. Our next agendized item refers to the Library Board and a discussion thereof. Hello, Sarah.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Sarah Kleinfelter, and I'm chairman of the Taney County Library District Board. I'd like to introduce other members of the board who are present: Mr. Harry Styron, who is the vice chairman; Roxanne Young, who is the secretary; Barbara Wehrman, who has the privilege of being treasurer for an organization with no money whatsoever; and Mr. Jim Babcock, member of the board at large. We also have the official representatives of the Taney Hills Library, Ms. Americana Magnus, and we have Barbara Graham from the Taney, or from the Forsyth Community Library here. We appreciate your giving us time for a study session. Our purpose is to establish a tax levy amount as well as an election date for a tax levy for the Taney County Library District. I presented you with two documents, one of which is right off the computer. And I'd like to go over that because this is the plan now for the Taney County Library. And I'd like to share that with people who are in the audience as well as those of you on the commission. The plans for the Taney County Library District: the Taney County Library Board will assume the responsibilities for the operations of the Taney Hills Community Library and the Forsyth Community Library. The County Library Board will hire a professionally trained director of the County Library and a director of information technology to handle all of the electronic media systems for the libraries. We would also increase staffing for the two libraries by 7 or 8 full-time employees. We will expand the hours of operation to include evenings and weekends as appropriate for each for the two libraries. We will invest in computer technology to support the needs of our patrons as well as the operations of the two libraries. We will develop a countywide comprehensive online catalog access to library holdings as well as internet databases and e-book licensing and distribution. We will develop special community programming to serve children, tweens, seniors, and other special interest groups, such as our workforce development possibilities. We will integrate educational services with the public schools and homeschool groups. This could include GED training as well as ESL programs, and we also have an indication from OTC again that they are wanting to subcontract with the county library to supply the reference and research information sources for their academic programs at the new Table Rock campus.
Could you expand on that just a little bit? Give me some more information about the OTC.
Well, OTC from the very beginning has been very interested in working with the county library system. They are intending to open, I think, 2014, I think, is their opening date. Hal Higdon, president of OTC, has said he does not want to be in the library business, but would be more than willing to subcontract with the county library for educational reference and support services. And so consequently, there would be an additional cash flow into the county libraries for providing those services. So it's a wonderful matter of timing as well as a great cooperative opportunity for both parties, for the county as well as for OTC. Did that answer some of your questions?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And that's particularly exciting, I think. Okay. We will create service centers for the rural areas of our community. Maybe examples would be something called Libraries to Go, which is simply a system where you take existing space out in the rural areas and you equip them with computer services, as well as I want you to think about the McDonald's Red Box kind of thing. Well, take that into books and other reference sources so that people could access in their home territory simply by using their card with a barcode on it, open up their own little cubicle. I kind of like to think about it as, remember the old food-a-mat kind of thing? And that could be the system that could happen all over the county in those areas that are distant areas from the service areas. The other one is simply, the possibility of bookmobiles or books on wheels. And again, Books on Wheels is a process of delivery to people who are not able to get to libraries. We will create meeting space for collaborative learning and community meetings, and we will assess the current facilities for remodeling or new construction. That is the plan as it stands at this particular time. I want to just mention a few more things, one of which is the second document that you have is a breakdown of the assessed valuation and the different kind of tax levies and the monies that could be generated based upon $993,000 assessed total monies for Taney County. It's an interesting process that we're in here simply because we are one of three counties in the entire state of Missouri that does not have any kind of public library system, either county or municipal. That's a very significant kind of thing. And part of the reason that is significant is that we are coming very late into the establishment trough. The other counties have been in existence for long periods of time. And one of the things that is causing the state library to be so interested in what we are doing is that we will be the first new county library in close to 25 years in the state of Missouri. So that's an interesting kind of wrinkle in this whole thing. We have researched extensively. We found 50 county library systems in the state, and I want to share with you that their average operating budget for populations very similar to Taney County, somewhere between 50 to 65,000, 70,000 people population service, their total operating budgets tend to hover around $1.6 million. And the other thing is, if I can remember what it was, that the assessed valuation for the average county library is 18 cents. And that's 18 cents for already established libraries. So they don't have the issues of capital or remodeling or, startup kind of cost. That's the end of my presentation. I want to turn and remember that this is a study session. We are not asking you to make a decision today about when and what, but we are saying to you, please do that as soon as possible. Because if, for instance, we go with the August 7th election, that's 4 months from now, and we have a lot of people who are eager to work on this project, but we can't basically call the troops together until we know when, in fact, we are going to have an election. And so that decision, I think, becomes very, very important. I would ask Barbara Wehrman, and she didn't know that this was going to happen, and Jim Babcock to come forward, if you would, because they have put together a line item budget for the library. So, Mr. Babcock and Ms. Wehrman.
Gentlemen, I don't know whether you have the, you may have this, but I'll give you another one. The budget that we've developed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for surviving the heat of yesterday. We did appreciate your joining us in celebrating Branson's centennial. Thank you. This budget is based on 20 mil levy. It has, even at that, a deficit. Even if we had this much, there are several important things I wish to point out. One is that the effort developing this county library system began with the Taney County, or the Taney Hills Library and the Forsyth Library and the Rockaway Library organizations, because they have come to realize that something more than what they are doing is necessary to fully serve all of the citizens of the county. And in particular, none of them are in a position financially to provide e-books, electronic databases, and even more extensive book materials in reference and non-fiction. Also, none of the libraries employ currently any professionally trained librarians to guide people in the use of print resources and in electronic resources. They do not have the ability to have outreach to all parts of the county, and those are rather essential. None of them is able to maintain more extensive hours, which puts a great disadvantage, particularly to students after hours, to working people outside the working hours, and virtually no weekend hours. And those are, we believe, very necessary for the benefit of all the citizens. If I may go once more to the OTC element, there is also the possibility within their campus not only of contracting with us, but providing perhaps a physical location for a Hollister facility, which is not now in existence. That's another area of population that has not had direct library service for many years. Now, having gone through this, please, what questions you might have.
If I may, I could also point out that what keeps the libraries running that are running now is volunteer workers. So we are not dependent on paid staff, very little paid staff, in the libraries that now exist. The volunteers are becoming older and older, and it's getting more difficult to keep those facilities open.
I do have a question as I look at your budget area here, and I know that I have met with several board members to have discussions about the historical society's part in possible education through the library system. And I see that you don't have anything as such as we might have now that the county itself has provided funding for record retention, things like that. Would you be planning on putting something like that in your budget line?
As, I can speak here with two hats, if I may, for the moment. I am a member of the board of the White River Valley Historical Society. We have had discussions, but at this point we're not in a position to forward any formal action. But yes, there is a willingness and an interest, particularly with the Forsyth Library, that there could be developed in this budget, I think, at some point, a cooperative arrangement physically, probably not administratively, but physically, yes.
Mr. Babcock, you just submitted the your budget of 20 mil.
Yes.
In the document Ms. Kleinfelder provided, it was She had four options in there. Is it the board's, I guess, thought that the minimum is 20 mil in order to do the do all that needs to be done initially, or can you expound on that a little bit?
As I recall, in our last board meeting, this was our recommendation. It was my personal recommendation that we were obligated to give you a budget that would do what is necessary to achieve our goals.
Right.
Okay. Anything less would not be, I believe, sufficient. Obviously, there can be compromises from that, but it does change what we do.
The outreach.
And I would like to kind of elaborate on that. The document that you have has the typical breakdown for a library's operations. It's the one that is the breakdown, and you'll see at the top, and it says something like 35% for staffing personnel, 20%.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
20% for operations, basically maintenance of the facility, 20% for acquisitions, materials, e-books, whatever. And then it says something, I think, 25% for capital. And capital is that kind of elephant in the room again kind of thing. Because obviously, at some point, we are going to need some money either for remodeling or for new construction. And when we look at 20 cents, we do not want to have to come back to the people and ask for a special levy for construction. And Danny, the question that you just asked about the museum, you know, there is no space now. But there certainly could be space if we maintain that 25% built into the budget for capital expenditures.
Okay. One of the things that obviously has been brought up a lot of times, well, not obviously, some things have been brought up to me recently, which was the timing of when you would like it. I think there's some question that we have as commissioners. I believe the statute says that you request the levy, we set the date, I think is how the statute is, and we're getting clarification. And it'll take a little while to get clarification, not today, but I believe the understanding of the statute is that the library board will ask the levy, the county commission will set the date. So I guess my question is, I've heard different things. I mean, of course, there's a lot of people talking in the community. Some talk about in April, some talk about in September, August, November. I've heard, I think, five different options at this point. Is the board looking at a specific time of the year specifically? If you could address, or just curious.
I want to go first on okay. Responding to that, because looking at options for a tax levy issue is an interesting process. So we're looking, first of all, at the first available time, which is August the 7th.
Right.
Okay. According to Donna Neely, our county clerk, she said that we would be the only issue that she knows of at this time that would be on that election, because that election is primarily, as most of you know, a time for election of county officers. The next available election, of course, is November, mm-hmm. and that's a presidential election. And that's also a state election, and it is our understanding that there may be, who knows, what kind of amendments coming down from the state to be on that ballot. And the other, you know, the feeling is that our tax levy issue would probably react to really negatively, and that we'd get lost in the other issues. I called the Secretary of State's office for a date for the 2013 election dates, and to the best of my knowledge, Don, I don't know that those have yet even been set. They were not set, nor were they approved by the Secretary of State. I don't know what they are. It is not a traditional election year in 2013. So if we go to February, it would be a special election And the county library would assume the entire responsibility for financing the county election. If we go to April again, we're still involved in having to pay for at least $20,000 of a county election, which is traditionally a school board, et cetera, municipal kind of election. And I don't, beyond April of 2013, I frankly don't know what the options are, because my suspicion is that beyond April, there are no options.
Did you have something, Donna?
Only if you want me to respond.
Well, that's fine.
Donna, I do have a question. If you could, I have a question for you. And as you're walking, one of my questions is, if the August 7th date was chosen by the commission, when is the date that the language would have to be done and submitted?
I didn't bring my calendar in with me. Okay. I can tell you where to get it. Go to the Secretary of State's office. Secretary of State's
there. Isn't it like 8 Tuesdays prior to the election or something like that?
I'm looking right now. Okay.
Regarding next year's election dates, they don't have their calendar up, but they are statutory. It's always the first Tuesday after the first Monday in February, April, June, August, and November. However, there is legislation that may do away with the June election. The February, the August, and the November election in 2013 would all be special elections. And, of course, the August election is a municipal election. In each one of those elections in 2013, the county would have to pay the total cost, April, would have to pay the total cost of that election. In April, they would share it with the other municipalities. If it's put on in either August or November of this year, we are already, Taney County is already paying for those two elections, so there would be very little increase. It would be the publication, the actual publication language, that would increase it, and of course the ink on the ballot for their one issue, which would be very, very minimal.
Thank you, Donna.
Are you opening to public comment yet?
No.
Okay.
Got a...
The 29th of May is the last, is the final certification date, is May 29th.
Correct me if I'm wrong. First, if a levy or if a taxation issue is not passed in 5 years, then the library district is dissolved.
Correct.
And the commission has a mandate to put the issue on the ballot. The question that Frank and I talked about this morning before we began proceedings is whether or not the commission has a discretion, and I believe that it did up until recently, of the amount of the levy to go on the ballot. And Harry, I'd like to ask you specifically to...
I agree with that.
Okay. Then here's my question. In section 182.015, it states, in the event a district is so established, the county commission shall propose an annual rate, which is where we gather that it's the commission that establishes the levy. However, the rest of that sentence says, shall propose an annual rate of taxation within the limitations prescribed by section 182.010. It also then states, which proposal shall be submitted to a vote of the people in the same manner as though the district were formed under the provisions of that section. So when you go back to 182.010, it's, if I'm not mistaken, the district that proposes the rate of taxation that goes on the ballot. So my question is, what does that mean within the limitations prescribed by? And
I think there's some ambiguity there that can't be analyzed. Simply, those two sections are not perfectly harmonious. The section pertaining to library boards that are formed by petition notes the petition for the formation. produce the letter. That wasn't done that way. It wasn't voted. It wasn't placed on the ballot to form the district and adopt the levy at one time. That's the other statute. The only way I can give this 015 any meaning is to say that the commission has the discretion to set the amount.
Any clue, because I don't know what the limitations are that are prescribed in that section, what that would be alluding to then?
The only thing that I can imagine is it relates to the general limitations on county taxation. There's also one of the provisions. Talks about a tax for buildings only, and that's another one. These, as is often the case with statutes, very difficult to tell what they mean, and sometimes one's opinion that affects another without taking that into consideration gives lawyers fits.
That's good.
Because we understood all of it, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. let me inject something here as far as the way this came to be. Is I know that when the library interested people came to us, wanted us to establish a board, we had a couple of attorneys here. They give basically the same opinion that you're giving this morning. Jim had asked that they go through the petition process, which mandates us at that point to put it on if you reach the number of signatures at the particular time that you have on the petition, plus the amount that's on the petition. Otherwise, it is my understanding from that conversation, without reading this, not understanding all that was presented here with these statutes, that the county commission sets the date and the levy. And is that the way you understood it?
That's the way I understand it.
That's what I thought was presented by you. And
legal advice to the board. And you obviously have your own attorney, but
this has been going on now for some time, and yes. The establishment of the board was a very lengthy discussion. So,
may I ask a question, please? If the petition process had been used, which called for establishment and levy, would not the commission have approved that the establishment and the levy amount?
I think that's what it says.
As I understand, if the petition is sufficient signatures, the commission has no discretion if it's done that way.
Right.
It's the petitioners that are setting it.
It's the same regulation that the senior tax was presented to us and used under almost the same language. Am I right? I think that's right.
I don't know.
The commission
does
not approve that.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The commission does not review the, approve the issue before it goes to the ballot.
As I understand, they only approve the petition. They make a determination that the petition meets the requirements. So it's just a part of the initiative process which others can put something, create their own legislation and put it on the ballot. That's the petition process. But we got started a different way, so we have a different process.
Well, Frank is also looking into this for us, the one question, and that had been my understanding also, that it fell to the county commission to select the amount, but was just covering my bases this morning. Sarah?
Ed McLiney has been generously giving us his advice and opinions, and I think his advice is just as we are operating with, that you have the right to establish both the date and the tax levy. And he has also given us simply the tax language. So that, and the tax language is very simple, simply a statement that people will approve, or asked to approve at such a millage rate.
Donna, to your question, are there comments from the public regarding this issue while we're present? I'll start with Donna.
I guess you guys have a tough decision to make as representatives of the county, and I just wanted to provide you with a few things to think about. One of those is this levy that is proposed would be the highest county-wide levy that we have. The second highest would be that of the health department, which is at 14 cents. The other issue, and almost hate to bring this one up, but we have seen several post offices close throughout the United States, and that is due to the internet. It is due to email, it is due to online banking and online shopping. So we have seen a decrease in the use of the United States Postal Service. We've also seen a very large increase because their customer base has therefore decreased. I would wonder if a study would indicate that the percentage of individuals within a county has decreased in the usage of libraries, as it has increased on the use of Nook books, internet research, of whatever you call it, Facebook, Twitter, and that utilization process. So those are just a few things that I think need to be taken into consideration, because we're asking to grow a library in our county. Is there a need to grow a library in our county when those things are now accessible by use of the internet? Thank you.
Other comments? No, I said it wrong this morning. Is it Wagler?
Wagler.
I'm getting closer.
Like I put the Y.
I'm getting closer.
That's okay.
Now you're not a rookie anymore. This is your second time.
This is the first time with questions, so I'll just, I admire the fact that there's a library board and they're definitely being an advocate for the cause. Everybody should be an advocate for the cause. What I don't see are advocates for the opposite side, and that does concern me. Because it's very easy to listen to half the story, and they get data, and they get stories, and they get facts and numbers, and it sounds very plausible. But in putting in a bigger scheme, it's not being tested. And I think that's really important for you guys. You're in a position where you should test, and you should question, and are you being given the information? And as Donna just brought up, too, to consider, the internet is booming. Everybody's on the internet. Everybody's on their phone on the internet. Nobody sits in libraries unless they go to Books A Million and they sit in those comfy chairs. So it's more of a comment than it is questions, but I'm happy to take them as far as why do I think what I think. It's, we need to look at why does this need to happen? If the post office is downsizing, why does anybody need to create a new sort of Leviathan, to use that word, but another growing government agency that would be the highest tax levy ever, especially in this time, but in any time, even if the economy was booming, that's not appropriate. Some things that I would like you to consider and to think about was what was talked about was this new library scheme is to annex the public libraries private libraries that are already out there. They're saying, oh, we would take over those because they're underfunded. Well, that's an annex. why not run a charity and provide them some funds, not government funds, but private funds. Go campaign saying this is important, let's do a, I used to sell donuts in high school and made money, so do something to support the private libraries rather than creating a tax on all the rest of us to annex. That's why the mindset is needs to be thinking about it. Also, the it's like, which I admire the advocacy, because the word choice is this is what's required to go forward. So they're being assumptive about what must happen. Well, sure, because that's what they want. My premise and my question is, why must that happen and ever, let alone why must it happen now? I did have some questions, some comments too, is, you know, to achieve the goals, their stated goals, in addition to get a bunch of money, hire a bunch of people that you can never get rid of, and continue to grow another agency, sort of like the amoeba in those old movies. Where does that challenge? Who's going to challenge that assumption? I think the assumption's wrong for a variety of reasons. The internet, the post office is closing, people can get it on their phones, and Books a Million for only $25 a year for those that want it. There's also internet cafes. You can go to Starbucks and you can get on the internet. There are people that provide computers to people that don't need to go to a library per se. And then the comment, too, about the volunteers are what make the private libraries work, and volunteers are what make public libraries work, too. Well, then extend the volunteering campaign. Don't create a new Leviathan. I like that. I've heard that word recently, so I've been using it. I'm concerned about this. Oh, and I like the idea that all but three of the libraries in this state, Taney County is one of three counties that has private library systems. Great! Let's use that as an example to explain to the other counties in the state how private library systems can and should be successful, which takes the responsibility back to the citizenry rather than a bunch of bureaucrats whose job it is to grow their bureaucracy. So that's my key. I mean, it'd be great. Let's have more private libraries, and maybe the other counties would take the lead from Taney and say private libraries are good and successful, and we need to expose that. And I got two other things, and then maybe you'll ask me questions about more why. Was, and part of what I said earlier was, if the issue can't stand, you know, if it can't stand on the issues and the values of what they're trying to provide, whatever it is, it applies to everything, including the fleet card or anything else people are talking about. If the issues can't stand alone, then don't scheme to deceive. I just made that up today. Was don't try to find the small little place where the advocacy can force the issue through sort of quietly. If it's a real issue, do it publicly. Let everybody know. Do it in the biggest election possible. Get all the media to write great articles, and here's the pro side, and here's the details, and here's the cost, and 20-cent levy versus 14 cents for this and 5 cents for, I mean, all these numbers. Let everybody know what the information is and let them make an informed decision rather than a secretive, quiet, backroom kind of, aha, we gotcha, like a lot of these tax levies go. And then I have two more comments, and then I'll take any questions you want to ask me. So so it's like you get to control when and where this goes on a ballot. It says that you get to decide it's not even clear that you get to decide what, if it's on a ballot, and then if it is, when. And that's a lot of responsibility, and I know you'll take it seriously. You do take it seriously, that's why you're here. And so I'm asking, since you have that, and there's a 5-year deferral, and I'm not sure how far are we into this 5 years?
We're starting the second year. We're starting our second year.
So we're 1 year into it. Yes, we've got four, 3.5 plus years to go.
Yes.
Before that expires. But you have a lot of control over just deferring it, at least. So I ask, and what I'm asking here, is that you defer the ballot initiative indefinitely, obviously, because I think that privatization is better, Books a Million is better, internet cafes are great. We don't need to create yet another new government agency, especially one in a diminishing market like libraries, because everybody has internet. And if they don't have it, there's a way they can get it for free. They get it at schools, they get it at senior clubs, they get it at the, they get computers provided to them. I mean, there are scores of ways for people to get access to information. They no longer need to go to the quiet of a library. So I ask you to defer it indefinitely, and if that's not a possibility, then to compel it to be in the most public way so that the most informed people can make a decision. Because doing it in a backroom place is dishonest, and I will do all I can to expose them, because that's not right. So it's the largest percentage, and if it's in the big November election, presidential election, 47 things that people get to vote on, most of the people will be there voting on that. This is just one of the things that they consider. And so that's what. So.
Real quick, Mr. Weigert, one of your comments was, we get to decide if it's on the ballot.
Right.
I have to rely on the legal statute. Minds to tell us what's right, but to me it's pretty obvious. It says the commission shall propose, that doesn't say may, shall right. propose an annual rate of taxation, which means we got to put it on the ballot. It's not an option.
According to how I understand the statute, and I would agree with Mr. Hausman, is that once the library board was formed,
right.
if they request it, we have to put it on the ballot. Now, that's according to the understanding of the statute, and of course we'll get better clarification, but I think the question of is more when versus if, because I believe, if I understand the statute, and I think we've all had different people look at it, different attorneys look at it, it's a matter of we have to put it on there. The question is when now.
Well, but what if the 5 years expire?
Sometime in that time period, this commission is going to put it on the ballot.
Shall put it on.
Yeah, not may. Yes.
I did work for a contractor, a company where the will shall question.
Shall and may is the two things.
I do understand.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that I had made the note to Mr. Hausman was that I think that question of does it go on or doesn't go on, it's going to be on the ballot in the next.
It's moved.
The question is when, and I think.
Then that's why I have two options.
Sure.
Defer it indefinitely is out. So make it the most, because if it's supposed to be taking the public's money, let the public be informed. Don't take the public's money. Don't come up with a scheme and then extort money from me, because that's really what it is. If I don't know about it and I can't get enough of my people to understand about it, people that have a vested interest against it, then I lose and I'm compelled to pay for something that I fundamentally disagree with and I can't get out of that. And I think that especially in the economy and tax rates and income tax and sales tax and property taxes, this is definitely not on the top. This is not a mandate.
This is the second thing that I had is at least from the information that the members that are on the library board have presented, it looks to me like they are going to go public with the issue and they are going to make as much information as possible. I would let them answer that rather than myself, that it will be something that the public is aware of. If I'm not mistaken, from what I read, that's part of your plan, is it not?
I would like to respond.
Yes, sir, go right ahead. Would you like to come up?
Yeah.
I was going to ask him a question before he leaves.
Hold on just a second. Well, he's still there.
Okay.
There must be a ballot initiative. We did clarify that. And just now we're talking about how do we get the most number of people informed? Because some of the information I read was there was an attempt to get it in this April muni election because it would have been, the only reason it wasn't was because it would have taken money because it wasn't an automatic mm-hmm. election already happening. And I thought, well, that's part of the scheme to deceive, and so that's why I'm... So, yeah, let's...
Danny, did you want to ask a question
yes.
before Harry came up?
Yeah, before Harry comes up there. I want you to clearly understand that just because these people are here to promote this doesn't mean that these three commissioners aren't receiving lots of information from what you would call the other side or your side. Because you made that statement right off the bat, and I wanted to clarify to you that this morning, before a commission meeting, I had three phone calls from three different individuals on this same issue. Yesterday, at the Centennial at Branson, I had probably 10 conversations with people that approached me about this, either for or against. And I also would like to state that people approach me in a manner of, is it too much money that they're asking for? And these are people that are educators themselves.
Right.
And these are people, and then I have people that have approached me that said that they thought it should be more money to get it into effect. We receive because that is the job that we take on when we take this position,
sure,
is to be approachable. And our phone numbers are out there, and we receive those calls on weekends and nights and everything. So I just wanted to clear that up with you. Just because they came forward today, and this group of people are here for promotion of this, doesn't mean that we don't receive those phone calls, and we have a serious judgment call to make.
And I think on that, and that's what I was commending, you three have to have tough decisions. And also praising them because they're being an advocate. And I was admiring the presentation. I thought, wow, they're informed, it's data, here's our team, it's enthusiasm, doing all the right things. So I commend everybody. I just wanted more fair. And also I think that it's a private issue, it's not really a public issue in the first place, but that's my own bias. Okay.
Mr. Styron?
First of all, all we're asking you is to let the citizens of Taney County to decide. We're not pushing this down anyone's throat. What Sarah was talking about with respect to setting a date, we have a something of an issue with volunteer fatigue. We've had this has been a grassroots effort. This is not an AstroTurf deal where someone's come in and created some advocacy groups. The genesis of what the Taney County Library Board's doing came from people who have been working with volunteer libraries for decades in Taney County. And they were at a point in which the financial structure of the libraries and was no longer working, and they could see the end in sight of the private library system. There is a huge place in the world for private libraries, and there are many private libraries. They're generally very specialized, and we're not talking about that kind of a library. There would be nothing wrong with Taney County having the best private libraries open to the public in the United States, but I don't think that's likely to happen. The issue of a private library or a public tax-supported library is not a radical issue. It was radical when Ben Franklin came up with it 250 years ago. And it was radical because democracy in the American way was a radical idea at the time, and it took root. The public libraries in rural Missouri counties are extremely popular, and while the post offices have become financially unsupportable for whatever reasons, and I don't really understand or haven't studied the post office issues. I don't think that has anything to do with libraries. The public libraries in Newton County and Stone County and around other counties comparable to Taney County have growing use and popularity in the internet age. So the idea that the internet killed libraries, it simply isn't true. And the idea that the internet, that libraries can use the internet effectively to provide more services cost efficiently is true. And libraries depend heavily on the internet. The internet cafes of Forsyth and Taneyville and Reuter are hard to find. The high-speed dial-up in those areas is hard to find. There is a need for a way to provide lower-cost services for people to acquire information. Whether that's a governmental job or not is something that the people of Taney County can decide. I am familiar and endorse many libertarian arguments about the role of government and keeping government small. The role of government in the at the most libertarian point is to have government providing very basic infrastructure for transportation, bridges, ferries, and national defense. It is not to provide meeting rooms for people. We, in reality, the county provides a wide variety of services, and many of which I disagree with. But what we're asking is for the voters to decide to have an earmarked library tax, and the philosophical aspects of the discussion can be made in the ballot box as they should be. And that's really what the library is asking, is the opportunity to take the work of the advocates. The library board is not an advocacy organization. The library board is responding to the commission's perception that people wanted a library board. And then there are some advocacy groups who are private groups of volunteers working. And they will be the ones who, with private funds, will campaign for a library, and it will be up to the voters to decide. Nothing's being done in back rooms, and there's no deception involved. The library board posts agendas, meets publicly. And there are many advocacy groups. There are a couple of advocacy groups who've had many meetings, and they welcome the participation of anyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harry.
That was in response to me. I mean, I think it's great. And actually, everything's advocacy, so I'm not. I guess a couple questions again was, in your thinking or your consideration, nothing was said about how to constrain costs. Like, once something starts, the next year, they need a little more because the building cost was too high or something else. There's nothing that says, how are we going, and I am not a libertarian, but how do we keep it from growing ever, ever more? I think that that's something to consider. And if the idea that the internet is, I mean, everybody that wants access can find access to internet now, and if they don't, it's usually their own choosing. And for that small percentage of the people that live in some part of a county where there's not internet, there's not dial-up, they need high speed, they can probably get a cell phone that has it, or they could drive into some town, or maybe it's an opportunity for some enterprising person to open a coffee shop and put a big DSL line in there and offer a free internet access for everybody that comes in and drinks coffee. It's not, or even if they don't, they can drink hot chocolate or whatever else they want to. So it's just to consider that, you know, you're being empowered with other people's money and trying to manage that. And I think that it's a ruse to say, that's an inflamed word, I apologize. It's a little unfair, though, to say, we want to put it to the vote of the public and let the public decide. Because the public, first, is usually ill-informed. They usually, not a majority of people vote, which is clear. And people, because of the word choice, people don't really know what they're voting for, and yes can mean no, and no can mean yes. So it's really important to get the facts out there, not the advocacy. And I'm not I mean, I'm willing to debate anybody on anything, really. So it's, so if it's going to occur, make it the most public. And also, if there's library meetings, I mean, I only found out about this because I read an article in the paper, and I said, this is great. I didn't like it before, but what do I do about it? And then I just happened to find out that this meeting was here today because it didn't bubble up enough on my radar to want to get involved, but because
well,
that's how I found all the other articles in the other paper. But I don't know. You don't know what you don't know until it becomes visible. And so once I saw it on the paper last week, I go, and it's only and it's next week, and there's a meeting. Not that the meeting was yesterday, but the meeting was tomorrow. And so I made a point of saying, I want to get up, I want to do my a little research, which I'm happy to do more research if it helps anybody, on the internet affecting libraries, costs, whatever it takes, because I want you guys to make informed decisions. But I appreciate everybody's time. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other comments?
Yes,
Sarah? In just a second. Sarah's up before you, and then I'll take you. And then we're going to try to wrap up because I've got three orders of business before
exactly.
our 11 o'clock.
Exactly. And so we have 7 minutes. I did not get your name.
I'm Kevin. Kevin Weigler.
Kevin?
Weigler.
Weigler. And I understand that you have recently come to the area here.
I moved here 2 years ago.
Okay. I want to encourage you to take the position of Director of Volunteers for the Taney Hills Library. We would greatly appreciate your services in that area. One of the concerns is obviously the libraries are in transition, and nobody knows for sure where all of the technology is taking libraries. Access to information will continue to be an important part of people living in a democratic society. One of the things from the very beginning of time that concerns me is that the average, and I think it's household income in Taney County, is somewhere around $23,000. It cost me monthly to have my iPad, my Wi-Fi, my computer, my whatever, about $350 to have access to all of that technology. It would seem to me that the newest and most dangerous demarcation between the haves and the have-nots will be access to information through the emerging technology. And the major responsibility of a public library is going to be to provide that access.
Jim?
I'd like to speak to issues by both the previous public comments. I stand here as an ancient technocrat. I have over 50 years' experience in both public and private library matters. I'm a life member of the American Library Association. I fully understand where libraries are and most likely a good idea where they may go. Yes, I'll put a positive point on this. You can go to the internet and find everything. Not quite. But if you really want to find what you can find, it may cost you. Libraries subscribe, in the case of the Greene County Library, $200,000 a year to have access to databases that would cost you individually that much to have access to all of them. E-books may cost maybe $100,000 to a library. If you buy an e-book, you have to pay for it. You can go into Books a Million, Barnes & Noble. You can sit there and use their internet. You can go to the parking lot of the Comfort Inn in Branson and get on wireless. But you don't have still access to all that information. And even when you get access to all that, you still may not have everything. There are still things in print that are not in e-form.
We've really gotten to more of a debate about libraries in general, and I would first, I appreciate all the comments that have been made, but we need to get on to our other orders of business. And again, thank you all for your presentation and for your comments, Mr. Weigler.
Yay!
Yes. Third time he gets it right. And if I could, I would like to
just 3 minute recess.
I can't.
Oh, yes, you can.
Let me.
Two of us say you can.
I got an order of business that will take 60 seconds. Can we do that?
Is that yes.
Alan. He's waited all morning.
He has patiently.
Mr. Catron, HPRP reallocation fund.
Just a little bit more than 60 seconds.
Oh, no, well, now, I got a problem up here. It's on both sides of me.
Well, I guess you can just go ahead and sign it.
Okay.
I'm Alan Catron, CEO of Christian Associates. And a little over 3 years ago, we came to you, and the county entered into an HPRP contract that provided about, I think it's about almost $190,000 of housing support over the last 2 years. That contract is over. That was stimulus money. It was a real nightmare to administer just because it got pushed down so fast. But in both Stone and Taney counties, there was a tremendous number of people helped. Over 2,000 people came in from Taney County alone. I've updated you that on various updates over the past. Sometime back, we asked for an additional money for Taney County. It was turned down, and then just immediately, or just about 2 weeks ago, they came back to us and said that there is some more money available. They want it spent. We asked for $10,000. I think they're going to give that to us. It has to be spent by the, or obligated anyway, by the end of May. So that's why only the $10,000. We could have actually got more money, but I didn't want to get where we were holding any money. So what I really ask you today is to sign the...
Is this an extension of the existing program that we're
It's the very same program. They're just putting additional money out
into
to
the,
do it.
Into our
I'm assuming that these are monies that other counties or entities didn't utilize.
Yes. Or the state just did not get put out.
This is the same information you sent through an email to us.
Yes, it was. We gave you a heads up on that because we had to move fast and before didn't have time to get to you.
I'm willing to make a motion to approve this $10,000.
I would also like to ask that we get the advance of the $10,000 like we did the last time.
Okay, hold on. Let me second the motion of the approval of HPRP. Alan, I do have a question about that in the discussion part.
Yep.
Have we got all the last bit of money?
I was just in with Helen, and I didn't check on that before I left, that almost all of it is en route. I think there's $3,000 still laying out there.
I know we got a big check, I want to say in December, that got us close, but we were still about 20.
I think it was 9 to or 11 or something like that, and we've just got information, but...
Helen's here. She can ask my question.
In fact, she's probably got a better information than I do.
Helen, how much more are we lacking to get current on the last advance?
We did 45,708 was the two checks that were written back in May and August.
Right.
And as of 12/21 of last year, we had got $37,296.64.
Okay.
Difference of around, it's $8,411 that were still outstanding, but there is something still coming on this last one, not counting the $10,000 stimulus that Alan's here to talk about, but there is still about $8,400 out of those two.
Advance checks. Is there any indication that's on the way? I mean, is that something, Alan, you're referring to?
Yes, there's an indication. I didn't bring the exact amount that the money's on the way. It's been...
It's in the mail?
I won't put it quite that directly. But, there's been some major issues. For example, we got the rule book on how to do the grant after the grant was over.
Right.
So there's been a lot of paperwork back and forth. And because they want this to go so fast, everything we have asked for, we were told last week, it's been approved.
I wanted to say something. I'm afraid of fast. Every time you say fast, I'm afraid of the word fast. But my question to you is, has the monies that this has taken care of, how did it have effect on any storm-related people that were displaced, that were already in this condition?
We had almost... 12, I think it was 12 families that came in to be rapidly rehoused. Actually, a lot of that came out of Christian Associates' pocket because this other one we had pretty well dried up, the HPRP as it is now. So,
I don't have any problem with it, Jim, because of the storm on the advancement of the $10,000.
Question. The motion on the floor is to approve the homelessness prevention and rapid rehousing reallocation. Is whether or not the county advances that money tied directly to whether or not you want to go after this grant?
No. The only issue that comes, if you sign that today and don't advance me the money, that really puts a strain on Christian Associates, because I've got two counties I'm trying to do. Stone County came in and did 5,000 of it.
Well, here's my...
Yeah, for the same amount.
Here's my question. I'm 100% in favor of this. But when would we know if this is coming for sure? Just the fact that we sign it? Or is there a procedure that be granted?
There's a slight procedure, and it'll come down as a grant, because you're the grantee, the county is. It'll come down, and the way they talk within the next 2 weeks, because we've only got 2 months to spend it.
More discussion about the motion that's on the floor?
I do have, not about the motion. Let's vote on the motion, because I want to have the discussion about the money. Let's vote on this motion, because we're approving this.
I'm going to approve it, except the fact that if you can't get it spent in 2 months, what happens?
No, he will.
I will.
Oh, yeah, that's not the issue.
No, the issue is because we advanced the other.
Okay, the advance is a separate conversation I want to have with Alan.
Okay, well,
I just want to vote on your motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the Homelessness Prevention Rapid Rehousing Reallocation Budget as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Where it says grantee signature, that's where I sign?
Yes.
And is Nikki's here.
Is there a way, Alan, that we could wait until we hear that we've got the money? Because if I advance the money today...
Oh, you mean as far as advancement?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I have no problem with that.
Once you know that we've got the money, I will support advancing it. I just don't want to advance it until I know it's coming.
I understand fully, and that's a good point. Okay. And even, you know, if I had to wait two or 3 weeks out of my own pocket before you're able to get that through your system, that can work too.
We can move fast as soon as we know we've got money coming.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I just have the same concern you did.
Right. Okay. Well, your program has been a big help to Taney County.
Yes, and we've helped a lot of people, and I'd like to see this continue. So.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
As a matter of fact, if one of you would like to make a motion so that we already have that for the advance of this money based upon notification that the monies are coming, then all it would take is me to sign the check with Helen.
Did you write down what he said? Motion to approve the advancement of the money once confirmation of the HPRP funds are available.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the advance the way that Jim worded it.
I couldn't remember how you worded it.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Let us know, Alan, as soon as you find out.
Stand in recess for 5 minutes. Is that all right, gentlemen?
Yeah, and a good man you be.